Amen. My second duty on today is to preach make a presentation, a Black History presentation this morning. I'm so glad to be able to do this. So this is a presentation. Amen. So if I do not get excited or hype or whoop, it's okay. But if I say the name Jesus more than once, don't mind me. Amen. 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 And I've already said it once. Amen. If you don't mind, look into your scriptures, the Bible, the scripture we're going to come from this morning. And before we get there, giving honor to all of our pulpit, to the wonderful church, to our pastor, Dr. Harvey, who allows me to minister as your youth pastor, to the deacons and the deaconettes, to the trustees, to everyone in their respective places. The scripture we're coming from today will be coming from the 37th chapter of the prophet Ezekiel, first through the fifth verse. If you don't mind, please standing to your feet. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. First verse through the fifth verse. The new international version reads as this: The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many of bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus ends the reading of the word of God. We're going to lift up one verse that says, And he said unto me, Can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, Thou knowest. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of preached word. Father God, we ask that you stand up and I sit down, God. We ask that this word go on listening ears and to an open spirit. God, that we may be able to celebrate your word and be able to encourage someone to go a little further or to yield their life to you. It's in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you're taking your seat, look at your neighbor and say, It ain't what it look like. I don't think they heard you. Turn to your next neighbor, and it may not be the best English possible, but it is Black History Month, okay? So just say, it ain't what it looked like. Amen. During the month of February, my brothers and sisters, blacks across America make special efforts to study our national history as well as celebrate our heritage. Thousands of young people are fanning the pages of library books looking for information about our past. Schools and churches and various community groups all over our nation are joining in the celebration. Dig deeper and dig some more are the orders for this month. And when all the digging and searching has ended, hopefully we will find the gems of information that we need to help us on our journey. The church has played a very important role in that journey. It supplies the sustenance for the freedom fighters and gives us insight into church's mission. For when the flame of hope burns low, the church fans the smoldering embers and rekindles the lost faith. This has been our role in the past, and it continues to be our role now in our present struggle. To our young people, I say to you, keep digging. There is black gold to be discovered in our rich heritage. It is a heritage rooted in the faith that God will certainly hear our prayers. Our text today, my brothers and sisters, first considers Ezekiel, the Old Testament prophet, his role as spiritual anthropologist. An anthropologist studies artifacts and remains of past civilizations to discover hidden truths about their existence and reasons for their demise. They study objects such as jewelry, pottery, and ruins of shelters. They also study human bones to discover many things about early civilization. The size of the head bone can relate to the brain size. Skeletal remains can tell whether they walked upright, and the location they were found could give an indication of their burial practices. Much could be learned from studying these bones. But here, Ezekiel wasn't a scientist. He was a man of God called in to look at a very dry situation. The scattered bones, there were scattered dry bones represented the people of Israel who had fallen from their state of glory and were scattered across the land, as well as Judah's destruction in the southern kingdom. The bones represented the second enslavement of a once mighty people. As Ezekiel looked out over the valley of dry bones, I wonder what he was thinking. I wonder what questions did he ask himself. He said, could this be Israel, whose might and power once shook all of the Palestine era? Could this be Israel, whose invincibility was occupied or was accepted by all that confronted them? Could this be Israel, whose wealth, fame, and glory under Solomon was unequaled and unmatched to anyone in the world? Understand, my brothers and sisters, we've all faced dry bone situations. We've all faced situations where it seemed to be hopeless. What questions do you ask yourself when you end up in a valley situation? What do you think about when you enter a situation where it seems like the bones are scattered all around the valley? Broken relationships can be dry bone valley. A chronic illness, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, diabetes, all that can be dry bone situations. A dead-end job, no matter how many times you went back to school, seems like they won't promote you. That could be a valley of dry bones. Betrayal by those who love you, who said they would never hurt you or turn their back, that can be a dry bone situation. Here it is. I can see Ezekiel sitting here looking at the bones and scratching his head saying, could this be Israel, which once boasted that its God, its God would never allow it to suffer or to be smitten by anyone. Brothers and sisters, in spite of the inroads we have made by electing the very first black president of the United States, Mr. President Barack Obama, can this be the ultimate state of black people in America? Dried, helpless, and hopeless now that we have someone who doesn't seem to be on our side. Will 1,000 years from now, will an anthropologist digging up bones discover our bones and say, here lies once a great people destroyed because they became hopeless and helpless? When we become helpless, we are in an extremely vulnerable position because we're standing on shaky ground. When we become helpless, the system determines much of our destiny and makes many decisions for us. Here lies the hip bone of a generation that sat down feeling like there was something wrong with the honest day's work and became helpless depending on the government handouts of life. Here lies the head bone of a nation who people would not complete their education and development of their minds. These bones represent those who forgot that a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Here lies the hand bone of people who forgot that it is honorable to toil in the field, to labor in the vineyard, and to work to feed your family and to provide their every need. Today, many of us, those vibrant hands have grown weak and forgotten the value of work and only seeks a handout. Here lies the splinter black bone of a people whose desire for freedom and equality has been broken. Too many black Americans have a broken spirit. We think the few material possessions we have are too precious to risk for standing up for our rights. Too quickly we forgot that those who don't stand for something will fall for anything. Here lies the broken knee bone of a people who push God out of their homes, push God out of their schools, push God out of their workplace. No longer would they give God a prominent place in their lives, but became preoccupied in their careers, preoccupied in their pleasure, and preoccupied in their pursuits of pleasure. And while they were seeking to unlock the doors to happiness, they forgot that prayer is the key to the kingdom. Israel, here in our text, became a helpless people. Enemies pounce on helpless people. Devastation creeps upon a helpless people. They were helpless because they turned their backs on God of their salvation. Instead of lifting their voices to Jehovah, they worship golden calves under Jeroboam. Instead of lifting their eyes to God in times of trouble, they counted on their alliances with Egypt. How many of us in this present day, we don't look to God to the last minute? We don't look to God till we seem like we're in the bottom of the bottom, at the bottom of the barrel. But understand, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Don't allow other things to become your God. Don't put other things in front of God. There is no problem too small that God doesn't want to hear. And there is no problem too big that he doesn't want to hear. Many times we go to God as a last resort. We use God as a parachute right before we're about to hit the ground. But understand, he wants to be there the whole time. It ain't what it looked like. But what does this say to us as a people? It should say, black people, you can avoid a devastating end if you simply stay close to the Lord. If you stay close to the Lord will fight you, will fight your battles, and fight with you in battle. He will open doors closed in your face. He will build bridges over troubled waters and shower down blessings from heaven on high. With God, we will never be hopeless, because I heard the psalmist say, all of my help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is my refuge and my strength. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. God will never, ever leave us helpless. He would never, ever leave us hopeless. Second, my brothers and sisters, our text provides a ray of hope on a dreadfully dark situation. Ezekiel's first impression upon seeing the bones in the valley was that this was a hopeless situation. Not only were there many bones in the valley, but they were scattered here and there, complicating the possibility that a reunion could be possible. It appeared to be a hopeless situation. The head bone was over there, and the ankle bone was there, and the thigh bone was back there, and the toe bone was up in the balcony. It was a hopeless situation. Is there anybody in the room know what a hopeless situation looked like? Has anybody ever seen a situation where it seems all the pieces of the puzzle just don't seem to match? You look at your life and it looks like a Rubik's Cube. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hold on, there is still hope. On a close inspection of Ezekiel in this text, he sees that the bones of the multitude were dry. But not only dry, they were very dry. It appeared so helpless. Last week, our pastor talked about the difference between love and a soul kind of love. But if you weren't there, let me give you a preview of what he was talking about. These bones were dry and very dry. It's the difference between being broke and very broke. You can be broke and still can afford something on a dollar menu at McDonald's. But if you say, I'm very broke, you don't have gas to get to McDonald's to get something off the dollar menu. Some of you may say, I'm sick. Yeah, you got a cold. Your nose is stuffy. But very sick, meaning that your nose is stuffy. Your body aching. You can't keep nothing down. You got a fever. All of that stuff that NyQuil fix. That's the difference between very dry and dry. Sometimes we look at the state of black America today, and we sometimes feel that we are in a hopeless situation. Black men are abandoning their homes, and black women are adopting dangerous attitudes that the home can function normally without a man. Instead of improving things, things seem to be getting worse. It appears to be a hopeless situation. The once rigid morale standard of the community has fallen to an all-time low. Sexual promiscuity, shacking, and homosexuality have become acceptable for all people. Black-on-black crime is on the rise. Black people killing each other and stealing from each other seems to continually get higher and higher. Instead of improving things, things seem to be getting worse. In your life, you go to the doctor for one issue, your left leg can be hurting, and it gives you a prescription, and the side effects allows now your right arm to hurt. It seems like a hopeless situation. But I heard the Lord say to Emmanuel, son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel thought about the dryness of the bones. He thought about their scattered and devastated nature and responded, Lord, thou knowest. Therefore, God commanded Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones, saying, O ye dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord. These bones, Israel was helpless, but with God, they were not hopeless. When hope is gone, the flame of faith begins to flicker. Without hope, the forward march begins to stand still. Without hope, ambitions are suffocated. Without hope, dreams dry up faster like the raisin in the sun. But thanks be to God, we have a hope. We have a hope in very dry and insistent and dire times. Ezekiel began to preach to the bones, and they began to connect themselves bone for bone. Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Each bone began connecting like branches coming forth from the vine, strong and sturdy, bearing fruit for the Father. And even in times like these, my brothers and sisters, digging up the dry bones and seeing the dry bones in your situation, God is telling you to prophesy to your bones. Say, God, can these bones live? And he will respond, he asks you, can these bones live? And you respond, Lord, thou knowest. Broken homes will be put back together under the watchful eye of the Lord. Broken spirits will no longer be sorrowful because God will put joy in your life. Broken bodies will be made whole because God is a physician that has never, ever lost a patient. My brothers and sisters, understand and realize it ain't what it looked like. Come on, tell your neighbor, it ain't what it looked like. It ain't what it looked like. As I go to my third and final point, God told Ezekiel to preach to the bones. God used a prophet to get his work done. He used Ezekiel to give life to the very dry and desperate situation. Many times we're looking for others to solve our crises. Many times we're looking for mama and daddy and brother and sister and baby, somebody else to solve our crises. But understand, we're looking to the left and the right, but God wants to deliver us through us. I'll say that again. God wants to deliver us through us. God could have easily spoken to the bones in the valley and allowed them to come to life, but he told Ezekiel to speak to the bones. I'm not sure. I don't know what is going on. I don't know who this is for, but waiting for God to speak to your dead situation, but God is telling you to speak to it. God is saying use his words and bring life to it. Understand that when you face situations, even in the Bible, when Moses and the children of Israel, they were being chased by Pharaoh and they got to the Red Sea and the Red Sea was in front and all they could hear is the pitter patter of the enemies creeping up on them. What did God say? He said, Moses, what is in your hand? He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God could have easily wiped Pharaoh out, but he told him to use what is in your hand. What is in your hand? You see, you're going through situations in your life, but God is saying you have the ultimate weapon. You have everything you need because it says, if I be for you, I am more than the world against you. When they were at the wall of Jericho, they was trying to get into Jericho and he told them to march around. Easily, God could have blew the wind and knocked the wall down. But what did he tell them? He said, you march around six times and on the seventh time, blow your horn and then the wall will come down. You see, understand, my brothers and sisters, the God that we serve is so wonderful to where he would do things for us, but he will use us to do the same things. He will empower us to do things. Amen. Understand, it ain't what it looked like. As black people, we've come a mighty long way. As a culture, we've come a mighty, mighty, mighty long way. Amen. Understand that God was with us the whole time. Even when they thought we wouldn't survive, God was there with us. We were counted out and left to die. Some of us, our ancestors was whipped and beat it, and they thought and whipped and beat and thought that we would not survive. But not only did we survive, we thrived while we survived. Amen. It used to be an old cartoon called Baby Kids. They didn't die, they multiplied. Amen. That's because God was with them and God is with us. Even when our ancestors was chocked and chained, we were in our bodies, we were still free in our spirit. They thought that they would never ever, thought we would never ever be anything. They thought that they could just turn us against God because they preached to us out of the Bible things that they wanted us to hear, but didn't tell us the whole story. Yeah, they thought they could take us out of here. They thought they could turn us against our God, but he still was with us. Amen. He kept us through danger seen and unseen. We started at the bottom, but now we're here. We started at the bottom, now our whole family's here. Some young people know that song, amen. It had not been, if it had not been for God's hand on our life, we would not be here today. But if it had not been for God's hand on our people's life, the world wouldn't be what it is today. I don't care what you say, what you're thinking, no matter what they refute. If it had not been for God with us, we would have never seen the pyramids. If it had not been God with us, mathematics would have never came forth. A blood plasma, the ironing board, the biscuit cutter, that was us. The fire extinguisher, that was us. The air conditioner, the dustpan, that's us too. The three black women that were referred to as human computers, yeah, that's us too. Understand that getting the man to the moon, that was because of the three ladies. The hairbrush, the curl activator, the Jerry curl, the traffic signal. Yep, that's us. The peanut butter, the collard greens, the hog maws, googly goo, chitterlings. Yes, that's us. The oxtails, the syrup sandwiches, the sugar water, the cell phone, all that. That's us. There are more modern things that I'm reminded about what we have contributed. So understand, we have been here all the time. If it had not been for the doorknob, you'd still be stuck in the room. So no matter what is going on, understand God has been with us from the beginning. But if you don't mind, let me go a little further back. It's a story about over 2,000 years ago. There was a man accused of blasphemy. He was accused of claiming to be someone that he was not. They captured him in a garden one night after he had a fellowship dinner with his brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. They captured him in the garden and they took his close friends as well. They dragged him and beat him and slapped him and all the night long. And then early that Friday morning, they took him from courthouse to courthouse. They whipped him. They put crown of thorns on him. They beat on him. They spit on him. They did everything they can do to him, but yet he continued to thrive. He continued to keep pushing. No matter what they did, no matter how they said that he was trying to be something that he's not, he continued to push. He continued to strive. Why? Because God was with him and because he was God. Understand, as he was carrying the cross, they made him carry and burden his own cross. They made him do his own thing. They sentenced him to death. They said, you know what? We're going to sentence you to death, but that's because we're going to sentence you. We're going to make you carry your own cross. We're going to make you carry the own thing that you've been talking about. We're going to make you carry your cross all the way up to your crucifixion. Understand, my brothers and sisters. Understand, my brothers and sisters. It was God. It was God who walked this man all the way through the car. He was beating, he was talked about, he was misused. Anybody ever here been misused? Anybody ever here been talked about? Anybody here ever been downbeaten? Anybody ever been misunderstood? Anybody ever been taken for granted? Well, this man I'm talking about, over 2,000 years ago, he was born just to die. He was born for your sins and my sins. He was born that we might be able to live. We were born that we may have life and life more abundantly. I don't know who I'm talking to, but understand that over 2,000 years ago, we was there at the time. Over 2,000 years ago, we were there with this man. And when the man came down, he got to the door. He got to the gate, and then he fell down. He fell down because he couldn't get any help. But the Roman soldiers, they didn't want nothing to do with him. So they looked among the crowd and they looked for a black face. And all of a sudden, they found a black face. They were doing racial profiling. They didn't want to touch him. So they looked at Simon Cyrene, and there here comes a black man. It was a black man that came and helped Jesus Christ. It was a black man that came and helped him take it to the cross. It was a black man that came and helped bear the burdens of the world. It was a black man that came and aided our Lord for Jesus Christ. I don't care what they say. I don't care how they like to talk about us. But it was a black man that started this religion. It was a black man that helped walk Jesus to the cross. I'm so glad that he came and helped him. I'm so glad that he came and helped him walk. He walked all the way up the Golgotha Hill. They nailed his hands to the cross. They nailed his feet to the cross. And then they hung him up high. They hung him up high for all the world to see. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. He hung him high. They stretched him wide. Yes, they did. He hung his head and then he died. Yes, he did. He died till the sun wouldn't shine. He died till the moon had to turn his back. He died till you and he died for me. But understand, that's not how the story ends. Anybody know that ain't the all to the story? There is more to the story. Anybody know that he was dead Friday afternoon? He was dead all day Saturday. He was dead Saturday morning. Yes, he was all day long. Anybody know he was dead? But it was early Sunday morning. Early Sunday morning, with all power in his hands, he rose. Yes, he did. It ain't what it looked like. Here comes Jesus. Here comes King Jesus. It ain't what it looked like. They tried to bury him. They tried to put him out. But here he is. Here he is. Here he is. It ain't what it looked like. It ain't what it looked like. It ain't what it looked like. I don't know who I'm talking to, but understand that God, he rose for you. So when you go home and look at your situations, understand it ain't what it looked like. RG&E, it ain't what it looked like. Baby daddy, it ain't what it looked like. He rose. My God. My God. Tell your neighbor, it ain't what it looked like. It's not dead. He rose. My God. Lift those hands, stand. Just give God a wave offering in this house. Lift those hands and give God a wave offering in this house. You thought it was over. But stomp your foot on the devil's head and tell him, it ain't over. It ain't over. It ain't over. Hallelujah. It ain't over. It's not over. It's not over. Somebody ought to lift those hands and just tell God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It ain't over. That was for me. It ain't over. Who in here can say I needed to hear that today? It ain't over. It ain't over. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell them it ain't over.
Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church. The doors of the church are open. Get right, church, and let's go home. Oh, get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Oh, get right, church. Get right, church. Get right, church, and let's go home. Oh, get right, church, and let's go home. Oh, get right, church, and let's go home. Oh, get right, church. Get right, church. Get right, church, and let's go home. Oh, I'm going home on the morning train. Let me hear you, church. Oh, I'm going home, Lord, I'm going home. I'm going home on the morning. One more time. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home on. Oh, I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home on. Here's one more thing. Listen. Evening train might be too late. Evening train. Oh, evening. Oh, yeah. Come on, just put those hands down.
There is room.